So now, Rabbi Yisrael, so we discussed yesterday that we discussed yesterday that Lot went to the Gera possibly because he couldn't handle all the excess money, right?
Yeah.
And speaking of excess, an interesting thing. We'll just bring it into the parish as well. It says in Parash Bereishis, every day except for the second day, it says Kitoiv, Kitoiv. But on the sixth day, it says what? No, what does it say sixth day?
Tov
Ma'oid. And Chazal say, what is. So what does Ma'oid coming to include?
A lot.
Yeah, that's a good answer. What does Ma'oid coming to include? No. Tell them all. So one shot is the first of the Yitzhar.
That's not Tobo.
Yes, that's not Tobo. So there are many shot that means that the Yitzhar in the big picture temptation is part of the world because it really helps us grow. So leave that alone for now. The Alpidrash, they say, Tov Ma'od is the Yitzhar means Ma'od is the Yitzhar. Too much of something is the Yitzhar. That's too much. So let's go. You take a look. Take a look. Number one, Noach was a great inventor. He invented a certain kind of plow that gave people a much easier way to plow the fields. Which means that people had a lot more time on their hands, and with a lot more time came the mumble. Right, we have a lot of time in your hands. You don't use it productively. Then you end up. Chazal say with immorality, with znus. That's number one. Let's go bite them.
Like Moshe said, that means that
Dar HaMabul. Number two. Let's go Dar HaFlaga. Dar HaFlaga. Too much wisdom. They were so bright, so smart, but they didn't apply to Maisa, and so their wisdom led them to ego. Created Dar HaFlaga. Let's go bite them. Too much. So we said too much money. We said that was load. Load too much money. That's why he went up to Derech. Let's go weiter. This parsha. You have the end of the parsha. The end of the parsha, Hashem gives a mitzvah of milah to Avram Avinu. So Tzadok points out a very striking thing about milah, which is fascinating. Which is, he says, I want you to do the milah, then you'll become whole. Right? That's very strange. Normally, become whole means you're missing something, and you add to it, and then become whole. Milah is the opposite. You're taking away something to become whole. Right, that sounds a little strange. So what does that mean? So Tzadik says, you see from here,
you're taking
away
the imperfection. What? You're taking away the
imperfection. Not just imperfection. But Tzadik says like this. We know the halacha is that an animal that's missing an organ is considered a treif animal. If an animal has an extra organ, it's also considered a treif animal. So you see that excess is also considered chaser. Too much of something is not good either. So if this is an extra piece of oral that has to be removed, you become tamim by removing something. So again, so what does that mean? What does that mean for Avraham Avinu? One second, give a second. So for the milah, it meant simply, physically, get rid of something extra, and then you'll be whole. But it means more than that. It means like this. Let's say you see a guy giving tzedakah. Say he's a baal tzedakah, right? Not necessarily. Because let's say he also, while he gives money to tzedakah, he also throws money at the horse races. He also throws money up in the air and he gambles. And he also is a big shopper. And he also just throws money around. So now we give tzedakah. So we're not saying he's not giving tzedakah. But you don't call him a baal tzedakah. Meaning his essence isn't one of tzedakah. His essence is, I'll take away money. What do you think I can do? I'll give tzedakah also. In other words, unless you pare it down and distill your giving to tzedakah, you're not a baal tzedakah. So when you have too much of something, you really haven't defined who you are yet. So I'm giving money here, I'm giving money here and there, and I also give tzedakah. That doesn't make you a baal tzedakah. You did a maaseh tzedakah, no one's taking it away from you. But in order to be called a baal tzedakah, that means you have to be totally in control of the money you're using only for tzedakah. So if a person uses his eyes for good things and uses his eyes for bad things, so you can't say somebody who's in control of everything he's doing, right? I haven't got to the point, the milah was, now you're in total control. There's nothing extra in what you're doing. That's what the point of the milah was. But the bottom line is, you see, excess is a problem. And I always said that's really, excess is the counterfeit pleasure. What do you mean counterfeit pleasure? Let's say you like steak. Great. So if you have a steak, so you make kal v'chomer. If one steak gives me pleasure, so 10 steaks gives me 10 times the pleasure. Not true, right? When you have too much of something, it's a counterfeit pleasure. it seems that it'll give you more pleasure because you make the Kal V'Chomer, right? But it's not true. When you overindulge, it's actually a chesaron. The overindulgence is not a good thing. And so it's a counter for pleasure to the extent that you think the more, in the physical world, think more of something means more pleasure of something. It's not true. Mishesh Lamana wrote some Messiah. If you have Messiah, you want 400, right? So the bottom line is excess isn't always a good thing. It appears to be a good thing. It appears to be more of a pleasure, but it's really a count of a pleasure. And that's the mahalach of the Mila. And that's what Lo had excess money, meaning if you're in control of money, then nothing's excess. What does that mean? Nothing. Because you're utilizing money, every part of your money, you have a chesed, what you're using it for. That's not excess. But you have extra money, and so it's an extra baggage lying around just so you can have more power. That weighs you down. But Yaakov Avinu, we see, Mamash had a chesed, everything. He went back for Pachim Tanim. He went back even the smallest jars. Because it wasn't excess. Everything he had, he understood there was a purpose for. That's not called excess. But if you have what's called excess, that weighs it down. And that's the idea. But Lot, he had too much money, and that swayed him. That's what it said. Okay, but let's go on. So now what are we up to now, guys? What are we up to? What was the lesson we did? What?
We're up to C.
See? So we're going through three things that you learned. Number one is that a person is Mukhi Bhattar. Was that Klal Delbatar we did already?
Yeah.
We did Zeklal Delbatar. And then we did the second thing is that with the Hanukkah that you Mukhi to give away your hidden mitzvah, somebody else's mitzvah. Right? We talked about that? Yes? Yeah. Okay, so now we get to the top of the page. The third thing from this and Alper, which I think we spoke at already, which is the Medrash Tanchuma, I believe it says, Lech L'chamei Artzacha, the Medrash asks, can you say Shema while you're going or not? And the Medrash says, no. The first Pasuk Shema you have to say while standing still. But you can say while you're going. Can we do that yet?
Yeah.
Right? So he said, what's Jack? That while you're being Mekabel Omach Shemayim, you have to be standing place and for yourself. You can go other way and help others only afterwards at the Kabbalah. So too, a person should not really get involved in helping others unless he has solidified himself first. And you have this even halachically speaking in terms of tzedakah, that you're not mechuyev to give away tzedakah unless you're somewhat financially secure yourself. Now, it doesn't mean you have tons of money, but you can't give away if you're on shaky grounds financially as well. That idea of helping yourself before others is the chiyuv going on over here. Okay. Let's go to the next thing. Then we talked about the reason why you're not supposed to be involved in engaging in some of the kuach and the shkafa if you're not solid yourself, because you can have those few moments of suffix, and those few moments of suffix itself is a dangerous thing to have. Have we talked about that?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Then he says, the third fundamental principle can be derived from the aforementioned episode of Avram and Lot. The Torah says, Vayelech ito Lot. Lot went with Avram, implying that Lot was subservient to Avram, under his orbit of influence. In other words, that the key to Kiruv is, it has to be that you're in charge, and they're on your turf. Okay, he says, ideally, individuals involved in Kiruv should operate from their own natural habitat that is fortified and secure rather than venture into an alien environment. In other words, rather than you go to their environment, they should bring them to your environment. Now, that's ideal. You can't always do it. You go into a college campus, it's not so simple. And that's a really treacherous thing to do. People do it, but it's more treacherous. But ideally, the best thing is to invite them to you. Certainly, invite them to you for Shabbos, and you go to them for Shabbos, because when you're your home turf, A, you have Sviva to protect you, and B, psychologically also, when they're on your terms, it's a whole different mindset because they're subservient to you, and that's they're behind it. So, in fact, I saw the Maral even says, interesting. He asked the Kasha because the Chayra, it says that Hashem didn't speak to Avraham as long as Lot was with him, right? As we saw, but he says others ask the question also. It's not true. We do see Hashem spoke to Avraham earlier. It says, right? Hashem promised him this, a family, right? Etc. So Hashem, he did speak. He did. speak Hashem earlier. So we saw the Ramban and the Kli Yakar, they all talk about, well, maybe it was a vision as opposed to speaking, right? All these different things talked about. Maral says very simply. Maral says, no, it means like this. When Lot went and he was tofel to Abraham, what is Vayelech ito Lot, Hashem had no problem speaking to Abraham. Because Lot wasn't an independent force. Lot was now under the influence. Lot was under the influence of Abraham. If he's under the influence of Abraham, he's not Lot. He's Lot under the wings of Abraham. Hashem could speak to Abraham then. It's not a kasha that Hashem spoke to Abraham. Calls man that Lot was subservient to Abraham. Because Lot's becoming tofel to Abraham. It's like kind of like a buckle of a shishim, so to speak. So Hashem is speaking to Abraham. And who's Lot? Lot's part of Abraham. As long as Lot's part of Abraham, it's not a problem. It's only when Lot began to assert himself and become independent, Hashem no longer spoke to him. Now, it's true at that point, Abraham did compromise a little bit, and he gave up that opportunity, but it's not a kasha. Beautiful point, the Maral says, that Hashem did speak to Abraham when Lot was with him, which tells us an important thing, that in the area of Kiruv, or like I said, Kiruv Kroyim, Kiruv Chayim, whatever the case is, as long as he's tuffel to you, you connect Hashem in a much more powerful way. If he's asserting himself, and now you're on his territory, then you're not going to have the same sad as mine. Alright? So, that's the next point, that it's important for a person to really have them come on your terms, rather than you go on their terms. And that's why he points out as well, that it's more complex to set up kolalim, in which case you're setting up a whole mini community, so rather than you going straight widely into their territory, you're creating your own mini little oasis in that territory, so you have your own mukko. Alright?
So what about the people who go to college?
And 1 second. So it is important to have your mukko. So even those people that go to colleges, you have to say l'chayra. You have to say that they can't feel that college is their mukko. In other words, they have to feel that their mukko is elsewhere, and they're just... It's a temporary in and out, like, you know, like the sukkah, you know, I mean, you're living in the sukkah for the 7 days, and you step out of it for a little bit. So, really, psychologically, you have to mentally be totally connected to something else. But if not, it is a big problem. Then he brings down, Rav Chanina bar Papa says, he has a question. It says, Rami, it says, Likras Sameh Sayimayim, and it says, Haikol Sameh Luchulamayim. It says, one passage says, bring water to the thirsty, right? Which means a teacher should bring Torah to the Talmidim. But another pasuk says, everyone that is thirsty should go to the water. Which means a student should, Talmud should go to the Rebbe. So l'chayra it's a stira, right? Are you bringing the water to the Talmud? Or are you bringing the Talmud to the water?
It's different sort of instructions.
What?
It's two different set of instructions.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're two opposite instructions.
Yeah. No, but it's for two different people. I mean, the teacher should try to bring the Torah to the students, and the students should try to bring themselves to the Torah. It's not that they're both aiming for the same thing, it's just saying what each one should be doing.
No, he's not saying that. No, it's saying that the attitude should be that a teacher should bring the water to the student. The other attitude is no, the student should have to come to the teacher.
Yeah, I know the teacher should be that he should bring
himself. So look what he says. Im Talmud Hagen Hu, if the Talmud is a Talmud Hagen, he's an appropriate Talmud, then you should bring the water to him. But if not, then he has to come to the water. Now it's like, so he's saying the same idea, that a Kolzman is a Talmud Hagen, so therefore it's not unsafe to reach out to him and go to his territory. But if he's not a Talmud, if he's not an appropriate Talmud, then you better have him come to you rather than you go to him. That's what the Gemara says, Mesechta Sinus. Alright? Okay. That means like this. And you said it's fair to say that Lot is a Talmud Shein Hagen. It's fair to say that, certainly, right? And therefore, the only way Abraham was Mekabel was when Lot came to him, and Vayelech Ito Lot, that's when Abraham said, okay, fine. As long as you're coming to me, and you're a subordinate to me, even though you're Talmud Shein Hagen, I can work with you, right? But otherwise it's dangerous. Now, he does say, there are unique individuals endowed with extraordinary charisma and talent, who can foray into the world at large, even with its bad values, and succeed in their mission. There are some people that have that ability to go into the worst territories, but they have this very, they're powerful, they're charismatic, and they're also strong enough to be able to go there. And the Zayar says, Avraham L'Chayr was that kind of person. Look what he says. The kibbutz of Ratzadik that Russia nezav and not bevenezav. When a tzaddik sees that the Russia is trapped by his sins, then he can go bring him back to do tshuva. That's what we'll see later on. It says that Avram ran to Dan, so the Zohar learns it means to Din. He tried to save him from Din, from Gehenna. Avram went out into that world to save him from Gehenna. And there are tzaddikim that have the ability to go out there and pull the Rishayim back in. Which means, he chased them as far as Chova, which means you tell them that they're Rishayim. And you show them how bad they are. The road to Machareim, Achim Megalim Lehem Ra'usam, Rishayim Yavoshim, Rishayim Zeu Ad Chova. And so at chayva means until they realize how mechuyev they are in what they've done wrong. So Avram was willing to go out there, and it's a dangerous thing to go in their territory and save them from Gehenim. How? By saying, hey, if you don't change your ways, you're going to be mechuyev. We used to have a caretaker in Camp Mars. When I went to camp as a kid, my yeshiva had a camp, and this guy was a real major hick. And in fact, he had a little beetle, a dog of a beetle, and he was terrible. He had sunglasses, and he wired the sunglasses into the dog's ears. So literally, he sort of, the dog walked around sunglasses all the time. They wouldn't fall off because he wired the temples.
In the beetle?
What? No, because like Snoopy had sunglasses. He was trying to have his own Snoopy. So his name was Bill. He was a major hick. In fact, one day we heard gunshots. We heard like gunshots. We said, Bill, what's that? I said, my dog had a litter of dogs. I said, okay, shot them all. Shot them all. Why? Can't handle too many dogs. Shot them all. I said,
shot a bunch of puppies?
Yep.
Old yellow.
Yep. So, anyway, so we used to ask him, hey, he said, Bill, where you going? He said, but you asked Bill, where you going? He said, to hell if I don't change my ways. He said, all the time. All right?
Wow.
Hell if I don't change my ways. Anyway,
what
the heck?
You'll learn some.
What?
You'll learn something.
Why shouldn't the puppy?
Yeah, the litter dog.
Anyway, bottom line is that light was heading towards Gehenna. Light was heading to Gehenna, and Avram pulled him out of there. And that's something that you can only find a great tzaddik has to do that. He says you find this also in the Medrash Rabbah. So again, he is saying that even though for most of us we need the security of being in our makom, there are some tzaddikim that have the ability to get in there. Okay. One second. Let's see. One second. I'm not sure what he wants with this one over here. What's that? I'm not sure what he wants. Okay, let's go to five. I don't know. E, what do you call it? Yeah, much what he wasn't. There is a fifth, page 17, there is a fifth lesson to be gained as well. Let us preface this with the obvious query. Why did Rambam Hilchos Deos articulate the prohibition Lo Sisna and Ochiyah Techiyah with a man of Abdur HaKamaychah? Okay. He's just saying something we all know, we mentioned many times, that the Rambam puts together the mitzvah of Leisisna Chibul Vecha with the Chayat Chich of Haftar HaKamecha. Because the idea of rebuke is dafka to get to the point of after kamecha. You know, you're not rebuking for the sake of rebuke. You're giving techacha out of love. So he's saying also one fundamental principle of techacha is that the person on the receiving end of techacha has to feel you're doing because you love him. Otherwise, techacha is not effective. To give rebuke, the person on the receiving end of techacha has to feel love. He says, okay. That's basically it. So his last premise is that Avram did this clearly out of love, and you have to use both elements of small doicha umekara b'yamin. Small doicha umekara b'yamin. Right? So is it small doicha or small? Yeah. Small doicha and mekara b'yamin. So that's the idea that in any teach it when you want to influence somebody or be rashmi on someone, you need both elements. You have to be doch, you have to be able to push him away. You have to let him know that, hey, unless you toe the line, there's certain bottom lines. If you can't do that, I'm not interested. I'm a kavim min. You have to be able to always use the, I guess what people call tough kaf, nice kaf, is really a small doicha or mimikarev, is that you have to be able to employ both at once. Avram has to be able to come down on Lot and say what he's doing wrong and give him mussar. At the same time, send a message that I love you. And I'm only telling this to you because I love you. Okay, so these are a couple of your yesodos. And by the way, so again, so let's apply it now to in our own lives. You have a friend going off a derech, and you know that your association with him could help him. Absolutely. But the question is, it might impact you. So, do you have a chiyuv to help this friend even though it's going to impact you or not? What's the answer? Can you help somebody out if it's going to adversely affect you?
You shouldn't do that.
Right, so L'chaira, I would say that guys at your stage that I would not yet consider you totally firmly planted yet. And the fact that you're exposed to arguments that you may not be able to handle right away, or will take it 20 minutes to figure out, or 2 days, and we said exposure even for that little bit is also unhealthy. So, having said all that, the idea is that I would say the best thing to do when you have somebody that you really feel off derech is two things. Number one, it should only be on your terms, meaning if you hear what's the hangout, it should be hangout in your house, hangout in a place where you know the ruch thinks is appropriate, as opposed to going where the ruch may not be appropriate or neutral at best. Number two is, I think at best you want to show you care about him at all costs, but I think I would recommend very much that you do not spend much time trying to be makarev, because you're not really at the stage where you secure yourself. On the other hand, I would not say reject him or you know, just let him, you know, twist the wind. The best thing you could do is say, listen, you know, I really like you a lot, you really got great questions, you need to speak to someone, and encourage them to speak to someone who you feel is more by that point able to handle. So your job, he's going to need a friend, he needs someone that he can feel close with, and the truth of the matter is the fact that if he's off the derech, or you know, going off the derech, and he still wants to associate with you, that means that part of him doesn't want you to give up on him. And so you want to make that clear that you don't want to give up on him. On the other hand, you also want to make it clear that you're not capable of necessarily dealing with his issues. And very often, by the way, the issues, as you know, are really beyond the theological. Most issues that people have with Yiddishkeit have nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. They have to do with much more deep-rooted emotional issues that you're not really adept to handling yet. And so you can tell that person, listen, I know you got some stuff going on, you got questions, and I suspect this is deeper than the question itself. You need to speak to somebody who's really more adept at handling this. And encourage him and speak with somebody. So I would not dump him. I would not, you know, just totally forget about him. But at the same time, you try to pass it off to somebody that is stronger, that can do it. Because as we learned, that being associated with somebody who's really off there can really impact you in a negative way. It's not a simple thing, and I'm not in any way, you know, again, saying dump the guy off, but you really want to encourage him to connect to people that could help him more. And again, if you can help him, or you want to help him, it should only be on your terms. It should only be when it's in your house, be in your shul, but be in some place, not on his territory. You don't go helping by going to a movie that's not 100% kosher because you want to be his friend. That's not what is not going to be helpful to him, and it's certainly not going to be helpful to you. So this is, even though we talked about it and he talked about it in terms of Kiruv Rechokim, all these rules apply to Kiruv Rechokim as well. When you have to deal with somebody who's going off, that you need to know what you can do, what you shouldn't do, and you need to know that at the end of the day, that you cannot put yourself at risk ruchnius wise if it's going to compromise your basics. And at this stage of life, I don't know if you're holding by V'achterecha as opposed to Shema Yisrael. So really, to fortify your own emunah now is still really should be on your plate. That should be first and foremost before you're worrying about anybody else. First and foremost should be on your plate is developing your own Yerushalayim, because the Yerushalayim that you develop is what ultimately is going to give you the strength to deal with and cope with everything out there. But until you get that strong, not to die to get in there. They say stories about Ron Cutler, who supposedly sent Shlomo Kalbach out into the field of Kiruv because he recognizes the Kayach. But supposedly the story goes that Rav Aaron felt that he still needed more time before he went out to the campuses. And Shlomo wanted to get out there already. And I think they had a disagreement, falling out, if you will, about that. And Rav Aaron held shouldn't go, and he did. And we see that. It did affect him in an adverse way. And he's not talking about a kid. You know, Shlomo Kalbach was in his early 20s, maybe late 20s. And he was somewhat of a Talmud Chacham. He was a day safe for sure. And Rav Aaron felt you're not ready yet. He couldn't help himself. He wanted to get out there, and so that's a dangerous thing. So that applies not just to teenagers. That you're not ready yet. It applies to adults as well. That's a very important limud. Okay, let's go back to yeah. What are we holding? Where's my chumash? Yeah. Okay, let's go back to Mayor Camero. I have your chumash. Whose chumash do you have?
What? This is mine.
Why does it say Mayor Camero?
Ah, it's from Cooper's.
Yeah. The plot thickens. Where's yours? Yeah. So that's mine. Is my big chumash over there? Is the big McQuest does there?
Of the Spanish?
No, where do we go?
There.
That might be it. Okay.
What was the sticker inside of it? What? Do you see those? Oh, yeah.
Let's just finish up these pesukim of Tzavot. Yes, I want to finish up to Ravi because that's the next sugya. Yes, Kola Arusharato Rei Lecha Etnan Lazarecha Adolam. The land that I show you, I'm giving to your children forever. The Samti Zarecha Afar Arutz. I'm going to make your children like the Afar Haaretz. Hashem Yuchal Ishlam Noisus Afar Arutz Kam Zarei Mena, like the dust of the earth that can't be counted either. Kum isalch ba'aretz la'arka la'rachba. Go walk around the entire length and breadth of the land. Kidlachot now, because I'm giving it to you. Vayel Avram, and Avram pitched his tent. Vayavo vayeshu beloni mamre. And he set up in the fields of Mamre. Asher b'chevron, which is the Chevron. Even shem mizbeach Hashem, and he built again a mizbeach la'Hashem. Let's see this. Hashem promises the land of Eretz Yisrael to his children, and he says, I'll make your children like the Afar Haaretz. Now, we know that Klai Yisrael compared to the Kochvim in the heavens, they compared to the Afar Haaretz, and obviously each one has his own metaphor. They both seem to signify the fact that they'll be multiplied, there'll be tons, but obviously they use different mishalim for it. Kliyakar says, I don't know if he says it over here, I remember he says it. Actually, I don't think I have a Kliyakar here. I don't think he has a Kliyakar.
It's in the back.
That's in the back. I kiss things. Okay, anyway, I think Kliyakar talks about it. And he says that there are different milas of stars, different milas of the Ufer. The mila of the star, obviously, is that each star by itself is an individual star. Right? There's a kayach, you recognize it in every star. Each grain of earth is really came out worthless, right? But the strength of the afar is when you put it together. You put all the afar together, you can pound on it as long as you want, you can walk it as much as you want, it has strength. So, whereas the Kleistel are compared to the stars to the extent that each yachid is very powerful, they're also compared to the afar in that our power lies in our unity of being together. And so, even when we're trodden upon, even when we're stepped upon, so to speak, that it doesn't do anything, it doesn't destroy us, because we have the power of afar arts, and together we have a certain power to it. All right, that's I believe the clerk says that. Let me just see if he has anything else over here.
Risa upper by itself is nothing, but when it's together, it has a lot of power.
Yeah. So the clerk says this. He actually says this. You know what? He says in the end of Vayera. He says. Sometimes we see Jews compared to stars. Sometimes that the sand on the sea, and sometimes the offer. Like we see, v'hayizarach ka'afar aretz ki hakol mayor al zaman acher. Said each one of these is talking about a different life or different phase in life. Ki b'zman shalva v'atzlacha, when they're happy in peace and security and success, they're like stars, which is lashon gedula. Powerful like the stars. The dimi techol, the chol means the chol, the seashore. That's matcha umas come al yisrael lechloisam liuchlehem. The metaphor is the waves that keep crashing on the chol hayam. That no matter how many times they crash, the chol hayam doesn't give way to the umas oilam. All right? Like it says in Tehillim, kol mishberecha begalecha alay avaru. All the waves will pass over us. Amla yuchlehem. Kisham Nafu. All right.
We're compared to the sea, we're what?
It's like even when the Goyim are pounding us, like the waves, that we don't give way. And Afar represents the Zman, where we like Afar, which is when we are being humbled. Well, being humbled, he says, like, you know, in the door of Goliath. All right? He says, all right. And so he talks about those different demyonis of Chol Hayoyim, of Afar, and Chach Mishmayim as different phases. When Bnei Yisrael are Gedula, they're Kachavim, when they're being attacked, they're like the Chol that still maintains itself, and then they're like the Afar, when their mamish been humbled into nothing. Okay, fine. So Hashem says, I'm going to give you, then he says to him, I want you to take, I'm going to give you the land. I want you to walk through the entire length and breadth of the land because I'm giving it to you. So there's a beautiful kliyaka again. We'll see in a second. But the Ramban says, what does it mean when he said, "Go walk across the whole land"? Was that a commandment? I want you to walk across the whole land. So the Ramban says, "Yitachon shezeh reshus." This is not a commandment. It's a reshus, meaning Hashem is saying, if you want to. Wherever you want to walk, it's yours, and I'll protect you. Right? Not saying you have to go there. I'm saying wherever you go. Now, but the word kum misalech does sound like more of a tziboy, right? Kum misalech sounds like a tziboy, right? Okay. So, but he learns it's not a tziboy. It's if you want to go, it's all yours. That's how the Ramban learns. We'll see that the Kli Yakar learns a little differently. Because if you take a look, there's a stira. In Pasuk Tezvav, he says, Ki es kol ha'aretz asher atar roya lecha. Anything that you see, I'm giving to you and your children. And in the next Pasuk, he says, Kum misach baretz, go walk across the land. First he says, whatever you see is yours. And then he says, walk across it. So why didn't he both? And in fact, take a look, it also says, in Pasuk Tezvav, it says, the land. What?
How do you see it without walking across it?
Oh, so the Kliyaka says that this is part of the Nase that Moshe Rabbeinu also able to see the whole Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem said to Avram, take a look, you'll see the whole thing from where you are. Alright? But it's interesting. In Pasuk Tezvav it says, I want you to see the whole Eretz Yisrael and I'm giving it to your children forever. And then when he says, I want you to walk across the land, what does he say? Ki lecha et nena, because I'm giving it to you. What's not mentioned?
Your
children. So how come one pasuk says, I want you to see the land, and I'm giving it to you and your children? The next pasuk says, I want you to walk across the land, and I'm giving it to you, and doesn't
right
mention
now,
to
right
be
now.
Continued.
Oh.